where it began. I can't begin to knowing, but then I know it's growing strong. Wasn't the spring, and spring became the summer. Who'd have believed you'd come along? Hands, touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you. And it don't seem so lonely. We fill it up with only two. And when I hurt, hurting runs off my shoulders. How can I hurt when holding you? Warm, touching warm, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Oh, we got trouble, friends. Yes, trouble right here in Basketball City. That starts with T and rhymes with B, and that stands for the baseline. Good evening and welcome to the WLEW Sports presentation of The Baseline on Sports Radio 102.1. I'm Clark Ramsey, your host for The Baseline, and over the course of the next 60 minutes, the dedicated topic is high school basketball in the Thumb of Michigan. Join me in studio tonight to talk high school hoops is the one and only John Mooney.
Great to be back for week two, Clark.
And also in studio is the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, the heir of the Aperture, Paul P. Adams.
Oh, I like that one, Clark. Ready to talk some more hoops. We finally got into some league play in the Greater Thumb Conference, so we really got some stuff to talk about this week.
And this week we saw a combination of the start of divisional play as well as weather cancellations. It was kind of an odd week.
Well, I already talked about conference play, so cancellations, sports editor's worst nightmare, because now my finally laid plan is all shot and... You know, now we're scrambling, so hopefully this coming week we don't have any more weather.
Well, yep. Tonight's edition of The Baseline is being presented on WLW Sports by Thumb Sailor on their 4G LTE network. The talk of the thumb, whatever you do, don't give up The Baseline.
Okay,
Here's the deal. I'm addicted to my smartphone. Seriously, I honestly don't know how I survived without one. Whenever I want, I can get my weather forecast, read my email, make sure my diet is staying on track, and well, of course, words with friends. I'm addicted. Imagine being able to play Scrabble all day long. I see it as supplemental vocabulary education, so it's totally okay. These are all available as apps on a smartphone. That is, if you have a smartphone from Thumb Sailor. There's more apps available than you can even think of using, and plenty that you really don't need but make the workday go by that much quicker. They're all available on an Android smartphone from Thumb Sailor. You probably didn't even know that Kim Kardashian is going to get her nails done, did you? Well, Twitter told me that one. See, I don't know how I survived without my smartphone, and I don't know how you are either.
From the crack of dawn to the crack of the eggs in the frying pan and sizzling bacon, we take Sunday mornings nice and easy here at Cruise 102. As the sun crests the horizon, and all the way till noon, we're blending a brew of tunes more satisfying than your favorite latte, and just as smooth. Join us for Light and Easy Sunday morning on Cruise 102.
Man, what a perfect day for a ball game. I'm starving. Where's that hot dog stand? Hey, what's that guy doing under the bleachers? Looks like he left the bag. Did he forget it? Am I just being paranoid? I don't want to scare the kids, but this just doesn't seem right. Excuse me, officer. Someone just left a bag under the bleachers.
We all play a role in keeping our communities safe. If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities. If you see something, say something is used with permission by the New York MTA.
Tonight's presentation of WLEW Sports is being powered by the blazing speed of Thumb Sailor's 4G LTE network, the talk of the thumb, now with the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. Listen to WLEW Sports in more ways than ever before. Tune in to Sports Radio 102.1, download the Cruise 102 app on your Apple or Android device, or listen live and worldwide at WLEWSports.com and thumbnet.net. Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and Paul P. Adams from the Here and Daily Tribune here with us. From our Eastside campus in Harbor Beach, Michigan, broadcasting live from the Clark Ramsey Manor. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of luxury. Book your stay today or like us on Facebook. That's the Clark Ramsey Manor. Well, it's been quite the week in high school basketball. We had two games in coverage for WLEW Sports with Clark Ramsey and John Mooney. And we actually got out to see a few different games. General thoughts, gentlemen, from this past week.
Well, how do you beat the opening bang is what it was. I mean, you had two heavyweight champions going after each other in Peck and Harbor Beach on the Harbor Beach's floor. Just a tremendous game.
You know, speaking of the Pirates, we're in rare territory. We were talking about this, talked about it on the ride over with John, and we talked about it off the air. When's the last time Harbor Beach has lost three in a row? And that's what we're looking at with the Pirates. They lost two last week, and then they before that lost two, I believe it was Genesee Christian. Who was it, John? It was Waterford Our Lady.
Well, that's right.
So that's three in a row for the Pirates, who are really searching for an identity, and who knows, it might have been four in a row had they played that game with USA. So for me, what sticks out is the Pirates are reeling right now and kind of just searching for an answer. But I think there's a lot of talent there, and I think it's going to click, and you're going to see it click, and they're going to start winning games right now.
The last time they lost three in a row probably was 1987.
When you were a head coach back then.
We're talking historic stuff right there when you got to go back to 87. So that's what's happened in Harbor Beach.
I can tell you this, since
in my 14 years at the Tribune, I don't remember Harbor Beach losing three games in a row. I mean,
I remember losing three games in a row when I was in varsity.
I would have to go back to the archives. I really
would. We'll have to take a look.
You know, with all that said, we'd have to look it up, but it does not happen. It certainly hasn't happened in this stretch where Harbor Beach has been at the top, you know, challenging for Greater Thumb East titles. So going to be interesting to see what happens with Harbor Beach next week and in the coming weeks to see if things do click with the Pirates, because there's a lot of talent there.
Well, we'll take a look at the Harbor Beach Pirates here. Recent from this past week's scores, starting on Monday, Peck at Harbor Beach. Peck defeats Harbor Beach 41-39 in a non-conference game. Caseville at North Huron. Caseville 36, North Huron 60. Deckerville at Carsonville, Port Sanilac. Deckerville scores 67 points against the Port Sanilac. Carsonville, Port Sanilac with 35. Kingston over Mayville, 54-32. That was all on Monday. Advance now to Wednesday. Harbor Beach at Vassar. Harbor Beach 40, Vassar 49. Ubley at Cass City. Ubley squeaks one out over Cass City, 45-42. John Mooney was at that one. We'll talk about that in just a second here. Marlette at Lakers. Marlette 63, Lakers 37. Sandusky at Bad Axe. Sandusky falls to Bad Axe, 51-37. Memphis at Marine City. Cardinal Mooney 59, Memphis 45. No relation to John there.
Oh, that's my grandfather.
I didn't know you were Catholic. Kingston at Peck was canceled. USA at Harbor Beach was canceled. That was Thursday, Friday there, as well as another game which has already been rescheduled and moved off my roster, at least. And Friday's action, Ubley at Brown City. Brown City defeats Ubley in overtime, 76-71. A game we'll break down here in about 20 minutes. Memphis hosted Marlette. Marlette 67, Memphis 28. Reese at Sandusky. Reese 53, Sandusky 48. Game of the week, and one of the games of the week for WLW Sports, was Cass City at Bad Axe. Cass City falls to Bad Axe 37-50. And Lakers scores 19 points. Vassar with 60 at Vassar. Not exactly what.
If I can interject, back on Tuesday the 6th, Owen Gage entertained Science Academy.
Saginaw Arts and Sciences.
70-58. Saginaw kids wound up putting on the Owen Gage kids.
My schedule, my rosters do not keep track of the Summit League, so I apologize for that.
Neither do they.
Yeah.
The only reason I went to that game, and it was entertaining.
Well, let's take a look here at our first game of the week, which was Peck at Harbor Beach back on Monday, which seems like an eternity ago now. Peck 41, Harbor Beach 39. It was 11-12 after the first quarter. Harbor Beach actually had the lead, and then Peck had it at halftime, leading 24-23 after outscoring Harbor Beach 13-11 in the second quarter. Third quarter was more of the same. They extended out their lead over Harbor Beach by 4, 37-33. In the fourth quarter, the points scored total was Peck with 4, Harbor Beach with 6 in 8 minutes of play, and the final score was 41-39. And kicking off right away, Dalton Oakey for Harbor Beach had 6 points, but then 2 quick fouls. He was benched for the remainder of the half. In the end of the second quarter, Peck's Kyle Abrego, 8 points of Peck's 13 in that whole quarter. Harbor Beach's John Shelkey had 5 points, but he's 1-for-5 from the free throw line in the second quarter. On to the second half, Peck even scoring and 0 turnovers in that third quarter. Meanwhile, Harbor Beach's John Shelkey tallied up 6 points and went 4-for-4 from the free throw line. But in the fourth quarter, Peck held the ball practically from the 6-minute mark on, and they only scored 4 points in all the quarter. Harbor Beach just basically did not have enough opportunities to break over that game.
I've never seen a team bleed a clock as well as Peck did.
They remind me of Brown City back in 2006, pretty much what it was, where you just ran in similar offense, ran that flex offense, and just drives you almost insane just watching it. And from a broadcaster standpoint, it's like calling a broken record.
A lot of screens, a lot of screen the screeners. It's a nasty offensive defense.
And it just went on and on and on.
And there's no way you can go to a zone.
Well, and Peck in that game shot 17-for-45 for 37%, whereas Harbor Beach was 15-for-56 for 26%. Peck was 2-for-10 for the 3-point line for 20%. Harbor Beach 2-for-13 for 15%. Both teams only with 10 turnovers. It was a fairly clean game when it came down to it, but Peck was able to squeak it out, just staying disciplined in that flex offense.
Clean game, well officiated. I mean, this had everything for everybody. It really did.
Except offense.
Well, you know, for the defensive purists out there, they really love those kind of games.
Here's what Jeremy Abrego, the head coach of Peck, had to say after the game on WLEW Sports.
We had a tough game on Saturday, which prepared us for today, but I think it also emotionally drained us a little bit. It looked like we were moving a little bit slow out there tonight. Yeah, I did. You know, they're a good program. They've had good teams up here. They're a good team this year, and Coach Rubel is a good coach, so I expected the best out of them tonight. The things that we try to do, we try to get high percentage shots, and that's getting the ball inside. We're not a team that shoots a lot of three-pointers. We did hit a couple tonight, I believe, but we don't shoot a lot of them. These kids have been playing this offense since they were in elementary school, so they know it inside and out. like you said, we're working the shot. If we would have got a layup out of that, we would have took a layup, but we never got a layup opportunity, so we just kept working it. We had some key possessions where we tried to score, and we had a couple key turnovers late in the game, which actually could have cost us the game. This was one heck of a week for us. We played Richmond on Saturday, Harbor Beach tonight, and then we play Kingston at home on Thursday, and they're a heck of a team. I hope we can get our bearings back, because like I said, today we were a little bit emotionally drained for tonight's game after Saturday's game.
That Penn Kingston game on Thursday never ended up happening due to weather, so Peck got a little bit of a breather there after two tough games, Richmond and Harbor Beach. One thing we noticed, and we actually talked about, is the strength of schedule for Peck. They have 12 games in conference, 8 of the rest of them, I believe 7 of the 8 are Class C or higher opponents. So they're taking the world on by storm.
You know, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think they were the ones that snapped the piston streak.
You got to build a wall. That's all you need to do.
Well, and you got to look back at the NCTL just a few years back when they were playing an 18-game league schedule. That was no good for anybody in the NCTL. Now you've got all these non-conference games that you can go out and schedule, and Peck has taken full advantage of that. They're playing anybody, any place, anytime. For example, they just hit coming off that they were just coming off playing Richmond on a Saturday, and then they had to turn around and play at Harbor Beach on a Monday. They don't really care. They just know that they have a special team, and win or lose, they need to expose themselves to every brand of basketball that they possibly can within the confines of their schedule, and they're doing that. They have Genesee Christian tomorrow, so another team that they could face possibly in a regional. So you got to give kudos to Coach Abrego and his squad. They want to go out there, experience all this, and they think they can make a deep run by playing this regular season schedule.
One of those special players is Kyle Abrego. He ended up with 15 points off his 6 field goals and went 3-for-5 from the free throw line for 60%. This is a big kid who can pretty much play any position on the floor. He was running the offense from 25 feet out.
He's on the short list of all Thumb Player of the Year candidates. When you start thinking about best players in the Thumb, Kyle Abrego's name better be, you know, at the top of your list. The first 3 or 4 names out of your mouth should be Kyle Abrego. And if you get a chance to see him, like you said, Clark, big kid who has the ability to probably play every position on the floor and do it well.
Kyle Abrego, let's face it, he is the Swiss Army knife of basketball players. He can do anything and everything.
Wears a red and white jersey, too.
Yeah, he can pull out a phone booth if he wanted to. I mean.
Well, for other stats for Peck, Denkenbring had 8 points, a big sophomore off of 4 field goals there. Dudley, 7 points, 1 field goal, 1-for-1-3 on the night, and 2-for-3 from the free throw line. Cody Abrego, the technical point guard, he had 5 points, 1 field goal, and 1-3. Gallagher had a total of 4 points off of 2 field goals, and Adams, 2 points off of 1 field goal. For Harbor Beach, they were led by Josh Shelkey, the point guard, with 17 points and 5 field goals, and went 7-for-10 from the free throw line for 70% after a sluggish start from the free throw line. He ended up actually hitting, I believe, went 4-for-4 in the free throw line at the end of that game to salvage that stat. Dalton Oki, the big man for Harbor Beach, ended up with 12 points off his 6 field goals. This seemed to be, you know, it wasn't a completely breakout game, but we started to see Dalton Oki get more comfortable in Harbor Beach in his position.
And that's a good thing for Harbor Beach. Got to get this guy comfortable. He's gone through how many games? 5 games, 6 games right now, and it's starting to come together for him. He knows exactly what to expect, what Coach Rubel expects, anyways. And if he wants to stay in the game, stay away from that second foul.
You know, he's got the ability to be a special player, and I think he is a special player. But when you bring a guy over with his size, and let's face it, Harvey isn't used to a guy with size. It's been a transition period, and I think that's why you see this team at 3-3 right now. But it's going to click. I have no doubt about it. Coach Rubel's a great coach, and it's just a matter of Oki meshing with his teammates, getting used to him. And when it clicks, it's going to click, and they're going to be just fine, I think.
Cody Seaman had 5 points off of 1 field goal and 1-3. He actually injured his ankle, lower bodily injury for Seaman. He actually did not play against Vassar as well later in the week. Yeah. Austin Seltz, 3 points off of 1-3, and Jason Gaffke, 2 points off of 1 field goal. Peck now 4-1 on the season. They're on a 1-game win streak. Harbor Beach falls to 3-3, and they are on a 3-game losing streak after starting out the season at 3-0 after the Wednesday's loss at Vassar, a game they were leading at halftime.
That Seaman injury really concerns me. He is a very integral player for them, does a lot of things, can go outside, inside for them. Going to be real interesting to see what happens with Seaman. Hopefully that's not too significant of an injury, and hopefully he can come back, because he means a lot to that team.
He's a tough kid. He really is. He does make a whale of a difference for that ball club, because it gives you an extra three-point shooter who is a maker out there, and plus he can go ahead and slash on the inside. Another rebounder. He really gets off the floor really well. I really like the kid.
So what's Tyra Beach need to do to right the ship here? They're sitting at 3-3. Just get healthy and things will work themselves out.
Time is going to take care of that. And they're going to be okay. Believe me, Harbor Beach is going to be just fine. All they have to do is just go ahead and mesh together, put it together, and get everyone healthy and take it from there.
Peck is averaging 51.4 points in offense versus 33 on defense. A huge differential for Peck in their favor. Harbor Beach still with about a four-point differential in their favor, 52.1 on offense to 48.3 on defense. Still not bad numbers, especially for who they're playing. They're going through the teeth of the West and the teeth of the NCTL. Now they have hosting Reese on Wednesday, the 14th, and at Friday they are at Marlette. This will be a toughie.
They're not afraid to schedule people, are they?
Well...
They will go through the best in the thumb, and they welcome that challenge. Paul and I were talking about that on the way over. I like that attitude. Just go out there and you know, strap it together and just get two good teams out there and blow the whistle and let's get going. Well, I like their attitude.
Especially when you don't need to worry about getting into the tournament. You know, you're automatically in at the end of the season. It's more of a strength of a schedule is going to always help you.
Right, and that's the thing.
As long as you don't break them.
In football, you're searching for those six wins, so you've got to make sure on that nine-game schedule you're going to get those six wins. Basketball, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're undefeated, 10-0, you're going to get seeded all the same. So why not go out there and experience all you can? If you take a loss or two on along the way, you're probably only going to get better for it.
And that's where with Harbor Beach, for example. You know, their losses are non-league losses, so... You know,
they're sitting at 0-0.
So hopefully they can get things in order by Friday, because let me tell you got that Marlette game looming on Friday. Marlette is a team that's getting better and better. Clark, you and I got to see them against Lakers.
Wow.
They can flat out light it up, and I think with every game they're getting that much better, that much more confidence. They're going to be very tough, so hopefully Harbor Beach gets things together in a hurry.
Well, I know this much, folks. We are this close to ending the polio disease forever, and now is our chance to change the world. To make sure no child is disabled by polio ever again, join in, speak out, and be a part of history. Be a part of Rotary. Join your local Rotary Club in Sebring, Pigeon, Bad Axe, Sandusky, or Harbor Beach. Check out Rotary.org to see how you can get involved today.
We are this close.
We're this close.
We are this close.
Of all humanity.
To making history.
This close to changing the world.
We are this close.
This close.
This close to making sure no child suffers a crippling disease.
Ever again.
This close.
We are this close to ending polio.
To ending polio.
All we need is you. Is you.
This close.
If we don't act now, we may lose this chance forever. Help Rotary make history at endpolionow.org.
On today's show, we're watching the human being in his natural habitat. The shopping mall. He appears to be at his cell phone company provider. Look at this. No customer service. He's in the wild now. And what's that? No smartphone? This is clearly not the dominant being of his pack. He's now trying to look up something. He's clearly not utilizing his resources. He is, however, an ambidextrous being, using both thumbs to text. But if he had a smartphone from Thumb Sailor, he could be doing so much more. Look at this. He doesn't even know his daughter is stranded at basketball practice. He obviously didn't get the email with the updated schedule. This being should switch to Thumb Sailor and get so much more from his phone. Texting, tweeting, Facebook, internet. This, folks, is why survival of the fittest exists. Become the dominant one. Get a smartphone from Thumb Sailor.
WLEW Sports is proud to present The Baseline, all things high school basketball, every Sunday at 7 p.m. throughout the entire season on Sports Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and Paul P. Adams. Well, we move on now to Wednesday action in the Thumb, a night off for Clark and John here. But we did not have no rest for the weary here. John, you headed to Cass City for the Ubley and Cass City game. I was at Lakers. Let's talk about that Ubley and Cass City game first.
It turned out to be a whale of a ball game. This is something that I would expected to be a breakout game for Cass City. They do have a lot of talent. They're very well coached. And not to say that Ubley's not either. It was just two evenly matched teams, and we're going to see how they button up and went after each other. In the first quarter, it was 12-11 favor of Cass City. Cass City, of course, being the home team. And then by halftime, Cass City could go ahead and stretch the lead out 26-18. By the time the third quarter rolled around, they extended it even more to a 9-point lead, Cass City 34, Ubley 25, and that's when everything changed. Ubley were reeling, let's face it. You know, they were just ready to go ahead and count another another loss. No, not a chance. These kids just never ever give up. That's just the way Coach Pekula has these kids wired and everything. And but they just could not get their scores off the snide. They weren't really scoring a whole lot and everything, and they were looking for a third scorer to just kind of step up, and he did. Number 14, Trevor Drabeski.
Drabeski, yes.
He just came out of nowhere. I mean, I haven't seen this kid shoot like this ever. He hit a couple of trays, which got everyone all excited and everything, got a couple buckets in the fourth quarter, and it was getting a little bit close, and all of a sudden, Cass City Redhawks were thinking, well, we're in a game right now, and they started to tighten up a little bit. And we're looking for leadership for the Red Hawks, and they're all kind of looking at each other and everything. And a couple turnovers. Ubley was there to go ahead and snatch them, put them in for layups. And that's exactly how the game ended, with Ubley stealing a 45-42 victory on the Red Hawk floor.
Woo! 44, that's me! Get some cold cuss, get some cold cuss, get some cold cuss.
I believe that was the exact celebration from the Ubley bench, and that was a much needed victory for Ubley. They came into that game sitting at 1-4.
Yes, both teams needed a victory, but it was just amazing how it all unfolded and everything. Both teams really wanted it and everything, but Ubley just wanted it more.
And I was talking to some Cass City players before the Vanex game on Friday, and they said they had more turnovers in that fourth quarter than field goals.
And worst part of it was that they weren't throwing it up the side or even, in the middle where there's a little option. They were putting it right next to the basket that they had to defend. And Ubley just went ahead and stole it, put it in. No problem. Ubley stole it. Simple as that. Scorers, though, it's going to kind of surprise you a little bit. Kurt Kabosky, normally he's going to do a lot of scoring for the Bearcats. He had 7 points. Jeffrey Wright, he gets his points, 13.
Mm-hmm. He manages the whole floor, though.
He really does. I talked about Trevor Drabeski. He put in 10 points all in that fourth quarter, just coming out of absolutely nowhere. And then Daniel Mirup, he had 3. And to finish it out, he had Jonathan Bisher, who I thought had one of his better games of this campaign. He had 10 points. And our favorite sophomore, Aaron Klama, he came up with 2 points. He had a little garbage put back, and that was all that they needed, 45-42 for Cass City. Sawyer Cuthrell had 4 points, and he was probably disappointed himself. That's going to be a little more redemption later on the week as it goes. Mason Erla, he broke out, had 16 points.
That's good to see from him.
Yes. Kyle Ross was 8-for-8 from the foul line, 8 points.
Hey.
Probably one of the better foul shooters in a area that is woeful on foul shooting for some reason. I don't know what it is, if it's the youth or what. But, 8-for-8. That was really something. Chase Winter had 2-for-2 on the foul line. He has 2 points. Parker Hare hit a tray. Keith Lounsbury had 2 points. And Logan Shank wound up with 6 points.
When you look at it, Cass City's at that point fell to 1-4. They're starting to reel, and at what point does Aaron Fernald, try and keep his team focused, and then they get to the Vanex game on Friday. We'll hit this a little bit more in a second here, and then they lose. I mean, it was a great game on Friday.
They don't know
Cass City was back into it.
They just don't know how close they are in putting it together, and they really are. They've got the tools. They've got the pieces. All they have to do is just mesh together, and that's all of them.
And if you think this is a rarity for Cass City to be 1-5, it is. Coach Fernald talked to Seth Stapleton after the Bad X game, and he said that's the first time he's had a team that's been 1-5. So this does not happen every year, and there is talent. And I do think Cass City's close. They've proven that, you know, could have won that game against Cass City. Maybe could have beat Bad X. They're there. Now, the flip side, Ubley. I remember talking to Coach Piccola after the Bad X game. He felt they were close. They showed that in the Bad X game, and they're building. That's a game. And later on in the week, they kind of gave one away against Brown City in the Greater Thumb East opener for them. But it shows me that Ubley's making strides in becoming a better team.
Well, the other game that we were able to see on Wednesday was Marlette at Lakers. And this one got ugly fast. Marlette came out on just an absolute hot streak and could not be stopped. Marlette's, the end of the first quarter, the score was Marlette 24, Lakers 0. Lakers was 0 for 11 in shooting in the first quarter. And Andrew Storm had 14 of the 24 points from Marlette off of 4 threes and a field goal. Impressive to say the least. The second quarter, Marlette was 5 for 6 from the free throw line. And they total was shot 14 for 35 in the first half at 40%. And the second quarter actually, quote-unquote, cooled down, if you would say so. But Lakers was able to put up 10 points on the board in the second quarter. It was 40-10 at halftime. On to the third quarter, Lakers' Trent Cunningham. This man came out of nowhere. We knew he had it in him. And he scores 12 points in the third quarter alone and had two threes a part of that. He had all of Lakers' points in that third quarter. And 12 of the 15 points, and Marlette had 12 points in that one. Cuts it back down to 52-25. Marlette still open, wide open. But when Marlette sits down the starters, and it was at that point it was just too late. Brendan Wisner, though, good to see for Lakers. He chipped in 8 points in the fourth quarter. When it all said and done, though, it was 63-57. Marlette big over Lakers. Shooting percentages, Marlette stuck it right around 40%, 23 for 58. Lakers was 14 for 41 for 34%. But Marlette shot 50% behind the three-point line at 7 for 14. Lakers, though, not bad either, 4 for 16 at 25%. And the free throws, Marlette 10 for 15. And Lakers, though, 5 for 14 on their home court. Never a good stat to see.
No, at least what I saw in the second half was some improvement for Lakers, outscored Marlette 27-23 in the second half, because that first half, I mean, we saw an entire team catch fire. I believe there were 6 3-pointers in the first quarter alone. Yes. For Marlette, which you just don't see. Storm, he got into that zone.
Anywhere inside 25 feet, he was launching it. It was going in.
It was that special place where shooters get, and you don't see it very often, and it only lasted for a short period of time. But for that brief 3 or 4 minutes that Storm was in it, if he touched it, it was going in, and it was special to see. And what you saw was Marlette team took advantage of Lakers. Lakers is shorthanded for a number of reasons we're not going to get into, but they do not have their full arsenal of players, and Marlette does, and they took advantage of it, of a team that was starting players that normally don't start. Lakers had players in positions that they're normally not there, and it showed in the first half. And I think as the second half went on, the Laker players got a little bit more comfortable. But they got stormed in the first half.
Marlette has 11 players on their roster, and 9 of them scored. He's got depth. Coach Storm has depth.
Well, not to mention depth. He looks like an NBA team. They've got like 18 coaches for like 12 players out there. I mean, it's like how many black shirts he got. I mean, come on, guys.
Well,
but I mean, it shows the depth of the program right now, and Marlette's really working well. I mean, Connor Thomas, he's out there scooping up rebounds. He's putting everything up. He ended up with 6 points and 2 free throws. I mean,
He's
doing a lot of intangibles out there that's making a huge difference.
And Coach Mooney can talk about this. What Connor Thomas does, you don't need him to always score points. You need him to grab those rebounds. Just do the little thing.
The dirty work
that doesn't get into the book. And that's what Connor Thomas does. He's not going to score 15 points a game because he doesn't have to. He's got other guys that are going to do that.
He's just dreaming.
Well, you know, when it comes down to it, that's the ode to Eddie Fury there of Thumb Tailgater, his affection for Connor Thomas. But 7:31 and a half right now on Sports Radio 102.1. Marlette, they're a very good team, and it's going to be interesting to see come down. I mean, High Reach obviously reeling right now in the East. Marlette looks like they're the front runner.
When we were getting the show together, we're looking at the records, and Clark, you kind of exasperated.
Surprised.
You're like, they have three losses? Marlette's got three losses.
They're somehow 5-3, but yeah. they're in that holiday tournament. They always had some tough teams in there.
But it's a team with three losses that's getting better and learned from those three losses, and I think that showed against Lakers.
Their three losses were to Vassar. Well, go figure on that one. Reese. That's a Reese, a
and
real
good team.
And I think
they'd like to have that game back against Reese.
Probably now, yeah. And then, of course, they lost to Imlay City just by 2 points. So
They're right there, and with Storm hitting 23 points against Lakers, Dale with 10, Kelly with 7, your leading scores for Marlette. Cunningham ended up with 17 points for Lakers off of 5 field goals and 2 threes and 1 free throw. Brendan Wisner with 9 points on the night. Terrence Dubes with 4 points. Seth Bowles, 3. And it goes down from there. Marlette, 1-0 in the GTC East at 5-3 overall. They're on a 2-game win streak. They beat Memphis on Wednesday for their one league victory. They killed Memphis, 67-28. Lakers sits at 3-4 and sitting on a 2-game losing streak at the moment. After Friday, they failed to Vassar 19-60. As far as the averages go, Marlette is scoring 53.5 on offense, giving up 42.5 on defense. Lakers, they're scoring 37 roughly, and they're giving up 48, something they'd like to see reversed. And once they're back to full strength, you might see those numbers switch a bit, and it's still early in the season. Marlette's upcoming schedule this week, Wednesday, they're home against Cass City, and then on Friday, they host Harbor Beach. Lakers, they are at Brown City on Wednesday and hosting USA on Friday, a game you'll be able to hear on Sports Radio 102.1 WLAW Sports with Clark Ramsey and John Mooney.
I'm looking forward to the USA game because nobody knows anything about USA. They have 3 games.
Well, an alleged 3 games. There's a mystery game out
there's
there.
There's a mystery game.
They played against Caro. Whether, nobody knows what happened.
Whether it's
undisclosed
two,
location.
Whether it's 2 or 3, the fact is nobody's seen USA play. There just hasn't been the opportunities to get out there and see them. I know, John, you mentioned that they have Sanford Meridian tomorrow, and you're going to be heading over to that because the great mystery is what's USA got
the
this
only,
year?
The only one that I know that has seen USA play is the Ubley head coach. He watched him, and from his vantage point, it wasn't all that much fun. He said that his team just got blitzed. They're so quick over there at USA.
Right. They don't. I don't think they have a lot of size, and that was evident in the team photo that ran. So they're going to have to rely on the quickness in shooting and defense. But if there's one thing that we've learned about with Coach Gainforth and Coach Bone is they will adapt to the personnel they have and they will get the most out of that. So I'm really, really looking forward. And I'm disappointed, really, that we didn't get that chance to see the Harbor Beach USA game on Friday.
We'll see that at some point here, as long as they get it rescheduled. Of course,
it is rescheduled.
It is. Okay, yeah. When is that? We'll have to look that up. We'll give you back to you after.
Why don't you stall for a second?
Well, after the weather break, it's currently 7:34 on Sports Radio 102.1. We're having a heat wave out there, folks. It's 28 degrees. It's just balmy. Pull out the swimsuits. It's just been blistering cold all week, and finally we're getting some warmth out there. The pressure is holding steady, and the humidity is at 60% outside, and it's actually increasing, so who knows what that means. The only man who does know is Paul Janis, and this weather update is being brought to you by Kraft Chevy Buick. You're here today, here to stay, Chevy and Buick dealer in Sandusky. For great vehicles, great incentives, visit Graf Chevy Buick at M46 in Sandusky. Paul Janis.
We have a cold front that's draping in from the north and west, and this may touch off a few snow flurries and snow showers through the early evening hours. And as we go through the overnight, we'll have snow pick up in intensity. We'll see a little bit of snow over the next couple of days. As this front drives south and eastward, an area of low pressure will develop along it and move towards New England. And behind that departing system, as it pushes north and east, we'll see dry Canadian air build in, and this will be with us come about Tuesday. Cloudy skies with us for the overnight, developing light snow. We could see up to an inch accumulation for most folks. Overnight lows at 15 to 20 degrees, winds from the southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour with a 50% chance of precipitation. For tomorrow, a mostly cloudy sky and a 30% chance of some snow showers. Temperatures reaching 18 to 23 degrees, a northerly breeze at 10 to 20 miles per hour. A few snow showers tomorrow night, cloudy, lows at 5 to 10 above, and Tuesday, mostly sunny, highs at 10 to 15. From WLEW Precision Weather Service, I'm meteorologist Paul Janis.
Thank you, Paul. 7:36 and a half on Sports Radio 102.1. When we return, we'll take a look at our second game of the week, Bad Axe hosting the Cass City Redhawks in Friday action on Sports Radio 102.1 WLEW Sports.
From the premier truck dealer in the thumb, Graf, Chevrolet, Buick, and Sandusky, here's Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
Hey, Brandon, you certainly hit the nail on the head. Last month you were talking about winter weather, and guess what? We got it. Snow, ice, strong winds, and cold, cold temperatures.
And you know what, boss? Everyone that purchased a Chevy Silverado last month from Graf had no problem pushing through all the snow and staying warm, and saved a whole lot of money in the process.
And for those who didn't get a Chevy truck last month, GM is out to make it a January to remember by increasing the incentives even more. Right now, you can save over $11,000 on a 2014 Silverado 1500 Crew Cab pickup.
We also have two 2014 Buick Enclaves on the lot that we're clearing out with over $10,000 in savings.
This just in. Save an additional $500 in auto show bonus cash on select vehicles.
It's all here at Graf Chevrolet Buick on M46 in Sandusky, where trucks are what we do.
Oh my goodness, real impressive.
That went really well.
Wonderful. Great job on the presentation, ladies. Now, who's up for cocktails?
I am, and I know the perfect place.
Hi, I'm Andy Deloney, chairman of the Michigan Liquor Control Commission. Whether it's an after-work affair or a girls' night out, Michigan has thousands of licensed establishments to host your celebration. So have fun, but know your limits and have a designated driver. Let's keep the party going for everyone.
A public service message from the Michigan Liquor Control Commission.
I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders. I got chains, chains around my feet. I got stripes, stripes around my shoulders.
Well, we don't have any concerns or talk about actually any refereeing issues this week, as we had good crews everywhere, and I appreciate all their volunteer work and getting out there and actually being a referee for the MHSA. It's a thankless job. It's kind of like being on the school board. It's just no matter what you do, you're always going to be in the spotlight, whether it's good or bad.
The Dallas Cowboys aren't happy with the referees right now.
Well, that's a poor thing. You know, I guess their cash reserves, that slush fund, Richard Nixon went out of
here. Sorry, I had
all the plumbers out there are suddenly just not enough money out there to pay off the NFL, I guess. But it's got to come to an end at some point.
That's capitalism for you.
yeah, but...
You sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
But anyway, Bad Axe and Cass City faced off on Friday in our second game of WLEW Sports action. Cass City on the road at Bad Axe. And it was 17-7 after the end of the first quarter. Bad Axe leading in part of a Bad Axe 11-0 run to start in the first 3 minutes of the game, making 11-0. And Cass City, they could have given up a lot of different times in this game, and they never did. And they kept fighting throughout the whole thing.
11-0 right off the bat. I'm going to tell you right now. The bus ride's cold, and I swear that that locker room is even 5 degrees colder than a bus. It's just terrible. And Cass City had to walk out on that floor for that. Well, what made things worse?
A double overtime for the JV game.
But the JVs loved it, though. They loved having a game called. I'm hearing comments on that.
Out of necessity. We ran out of stuff to talk about. Let's just start calling the JV game.
Yeah, and they provided some pretty good drama for us.
It was fun. It was a lot of fun, especially when John Moody's calling his shots the whole time. All right, this guy's going to get it. And you were pretty accurate.
Well, my
time.
Favorite shot, though, was Wyatt Humphrey Phillips. You know, banking that three-pointer off.
And what a name, too.
Yes, that's great, isn't it?
Anyway, this varsity game, at halftime, it was 30-24. Bad Axe leading only by six. Cass City actually outscored Bad Axe 17-13 in the second quarter. And Early had Mason Early with 7 points in that second quarter. On to the third quarter, it was a great matchup between Tommy Morneau and Sawyer Cotherell the entire night. And get this, in the third quarter, Tommy Morneau had 7 points. Sawyer Cotherell, he had 7 points. Morneau had one field goal. Cotherell had one field goal. For threes, well, Morneau had one, and Cotherell said, hey, I can make him two. He had 1-3, and they're both 2-for-2 from the free throw line. Just going, just punch to punch the whole night long, especially in the third quarter, and it was 42-31, Bad Axe by 11 in that third quarter. On to the fourth quarter, it was pretty much all the same, low scoring, 8-6 altogether. Tommy Morneau with 6 points in the fourth, and perfect from the free throw line, especially on the night. 5-for-5 from the free throw line. Final score, Bad Axe 50, Cass City 37. Bad Axe shot 42% from the field, Cass City 34%, and Bad Axe was 5-for-15 for the 3-point line. Cass City was 5-for-13 for 38%.
D defense, 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 defense.
And on that note, we'll hear from Mason Krug, or excuse me, Mark Krug, not Mason Krug. Mark Krug, the head coach of the Bad X program, talking about defense.
The boys worked hard to get on defense. That seems to be our trademark, and we're sticking to it. Offense is a little bit lackluster, but it's starting to come around. We're being a little bit more methodical in practice with our offenses, so I think they're starting to get a little bit more comfortable with that. And I think they understand, too, as well as we're playing defense, that if we can continue doing that, that's going to help us on that offensive end. And, you know, in the end, I think that's going to – it's going to come. I can see it there. It's just about there. 2 weeks ago, it wasn't there. It's now coming. Tonight, I thought Ben Sutton did a really good job coming off and covering for his brother. He really played a great game tonight. Jared played another great game on defense. Tommy, again, you know, when he wants to take control, he can do that.
This being January 9th, were you kind of surprised to see a gimmick defense on Tommy Morneau?
No, not at all. Every game we're seeing something a little different with him, and he's an amazing player. He can find the gaps, and he manages to get through a lot of that defense. He really makes good decisions out there. Even he'll pull up on a shot that you look like he was going to force, and then he pulls up and passes it.
And Tommy Morneau, the whole night, I mean, no matter what sport he plays, no matter what spot on the court he is, he's just a gift to the Bad X program.
Clark, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
Final stats here. Tommy Morneau with 24 points, 5 for 5 from the free throw line, and had 3 threes off of 5 field goals. Andrew Sutton, 10 points, 3 field goals, 4 for 5 from the free throw line. Derek Geiger, 6 points off of 2 threes. Mason Krug, 2 mid-range jump shots that looked good, and they were good, for 4 points. And then it went from there, 2 points for both Messing boys, and Ben Sutton with 2 points as well. Sawyer Cothrell with 15 points off of 3 threes, 2 field goals, and 2 free throws. Mason Earle at 9 points, 2 field goals, and a 3, 2 for 5 from the free throw line. Parker Hare, 4 points. Kyle Ross, 3 points off of 1-3. Jack Stern, Lounsbury, and Schenck each with 2 points on the night.
You know, Clark, we were talking about defense, defense, defense to the 10th power. But there's one kid that did not make it into the box score. But I'll tell you what, this is the one that I thought really played a great game on defense. He held down Cothrell to just 15 points. And that's
Jared
doing
Brown.
A lot. And that's Jared Brown. Mm-hmm. He was on him like you wouldn't believe. I think he lost him once on a switch. And he fought back to get on his man. Just a shout out to Jared Brown on such a really good job playing against such a great offensive player like Sawyer Cothrell.
Two games in a row now where Bad X has really ratcheted up the defense in the second half. On Wednesday against Sandusky, I believe they held the Redskins to, I think it was 11 points. They held the Redhawks at 13.
I never even saw that.
13 points here on Friday. So two games in a row where they have made the proper adjustments in the second half and really, really played to their strength. That is their defense, and I agree with Coach Krug. That offense is coming along. We saw Andrew Sutton, with 22 points in that win on Wednesday against Sandusky. That was kind of a breakout game for him, and the Hatchets are going to need that as teams try to figure out different ways to stop Tommy Morneau. It's so important for guys like Sutton and Krug, Brown, Geiger, all these guys to pick up the slack, because Tommy Morneau is going to see every single defense that coaches can possibly imagine to try to stop him. So these other guys have to step that up. So those are two things I take away, is other guys are starting to step up, and that defense is just, in the second half, it is really, really, really tough to score on the Hatchets.
You know, you're right, Paul. There's going to be some defenses that may not even been invented yet, or maybe some that have been tried who knows how many years ago. Theoretically, you can put two men on that same guy at all times if you play it right.
I'm going to get all dreamy here again, and you might have to play the clip. But if you haven't seen Tommy Morneau, he's worth the price of admission, because he has the ability to let the game come to him. He can slow it down, speed it up. He has the ability to do a lot of things on the court and really control the game, and he's becoming a special, special player before our eyes.
That would be hard to say, sir. They're each outstanding in their own way.
And that's really what you can say. I mean, Krug was he's going 10 deep in the roster. It was constant. It looked like a hockey game out there against the USSR. It was just nonstop shift changes.
45 seconds, roll the next line.
Yeah, exactly. And it just kept on going, but it seems to work 50-37. Who needs offense when you keep them scoring? This is, what, three, four straight games that Bannack has coincidentally been winning, but also they have not each of their victories, they have not allowed their opponent to go over 40 points.
Right.
That's the difference maker right there. Right now, it's time to take a quick 60-second break for 747 on Sports Radio 102.1. We'll be back with more on the Baseline.
With your golden years upon you, your anticipation of an enhanced lifestyle becomes more than just a dream. With the help of Country Bay Village and Pigeon, meet Country Bay Village Director Tom Beachy.
Here at Country Bay Village, we take extra pride in our dedication to hospitality and special programs focusing on physical, social, emotional, and spiritual activities. We also offer great meals. With Country Bay Village neighboring Shure Hospital, there's a feeling of security knowing medical assistance is nearby, including a weekly visiting nurse answering questions, monitoring blood pressure, and more. Forget snow removal. Never again be concerned about lawn care. If it's time you or a family member is relieved of those home maintenance issues, then it's time to move up to the enhanced independent lifestyle at Country Bay Village. Choose independent housing on campus or community living in an apartment-style residence. We are Country Bay Village of Pigeon, a division of Shure Healthcare Network. People you trust, caring for people you love.